Hello.
G'day, this is Simon Mercet from the Crave podcast and website in Auckland. Is that Lance?
Yes, how you doing? How's your morning going?
Hi. Good, thanks very much for talking to me, Lance.
Oh, thanks for taking the time. It's my pleasure.
Great. Well, look, I'm here to talk to you about this new album of the Bamboos called Nighttime People. And this might be a little odd, but I wouldn't mind beginning by talking about the last track, Lance, which is really interesting. It's called Broken, and you've got three different versions of a, well, it's the same music, isn't it, but with three different vocalists and three different sets of lyrics. Can you tell me about the idea behind that?
Yeah, so there definitely was an idea behind this. I mean, going back to the inception, I mean, some of my favourite music, from artists like, I guess, people like Curtis Mayfield and Marvin Gaye, for instance, off the top of my head, you know, music that was amazing music that steeped in some great kind of social messages and social awareness. And, there have been a couple of Bamboo songs with themes like that over the, you know, the eight albums we've done. But the message behind this track is really all around raising awareness around mental illness and emotional well-being, I guess, also you could put in there. And, you know, the message behind it is that it's okay for us to ask for help. It's okay for any of us to ask for help. And it's actually a sign of strength, I feel, and something that should be applauded, really. So this is a message that I feel very passionate about. I mean, I think every single person I know, whether it's them, whether it's someone in their family, someone in their circle of friends or someone they love, has been affected by this in some way, whether it's, anxiety, depression, PTSD. There's a whole bunch of personality disorders, I guess, that come under this umbrella. But, yeah, we really wanted to get this message out that it's okay to ask for help, that there's a lot of people out there who want to help you. And we thought, what's a great way to kind of, I guess, shout this message out in a global way, and the idea came up to feature three different MCs or rappers on this song called Broken, and, you know, each of them bringing their own personal and what ended up being, you know, highly raw and emotional and personal stories to the song, and sort of with the loose theme of resilience around these topics I've been talking about. But yeah, we had Jay Live, a rapper from the US who I'm a massive fan of, Earthboy, who's a local legend in the Australian hip-hop scene, and Teezy out of Berlin in Germany, who's a rapper but also an amazing songwriter and singer as well. And each of these artists really kind of stepped up and I think really came forth with some amazing stuff.
Yeah, I've managed to find on YouTube, Lance, a couple of videos for at least two of the three artists. You can Jay Live and Earthboy, and I think it's really interesting videos where you can read the lyrics as they're working their way through the song. I think Teezy's version is in the German language. Is there a translation available? In a way, you almost don't need it because there's such a lot of passion in the way he sings it. You almost don't need to know. that almost tells you all you need to know in a way, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, I don't have the translation of that one, but because he sings as well, I think that even though there's a slight disconnect with the language barrier, for me, that's actually one of my favourites because his voice is so amazing for one thing, but you can just, you know, feel the emotion just dripping out of that one almost. It's a wild version. But, you know, we decided to do the lyric videos just to get those words into people's ears and faces and really spell out the stories. Earthboy's one is centered around, I guess, themes of toxic masculinity and how people can go wrong in that journey and of from a child with the wrong influences. And then Jay Live's got his whole amazing one just about almost a redemptive story of going, you know, through I guess sort of almost a depressive episode and coming out the other side. So yeah, I think specifically around this thing, if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And I feel like these artists really did open themselves up, and you know, that was really, it's almost a relief, because you don't know what's going to come back when you go out with these things, in terms of the collaboration, I just think it really struck a chord with these particular artists, which was amazing.
Yeah, so it wasn't a hard job to convince them to join the project.
No, look, if I'm honest, in terms of the list of US rappers I had, you know, there were several of them on there, but J-Live was just so enthusiastic about the concept and the idea, and also I absolutely love his sound and his work and his flow, and so he was just really, really into it, and I think his enthusiasm for it just, you know, it made it a no-brainer, really.
Yeah.
To choose him. Other
thing about Broken, the music, you've got that, the bold, brassy, funky, uplifting music in many ways, side by side with lyrics which are telling a different sort of story. It's a very interesting juxtaposition that you've come up with there. What was the thinking behind that? I mean, the music is almost, maybe it's, is it giving you some hope? Is that kind of what the music's doing in that song?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's almost a sort of a gospel element to it that I was trying to bring in as well. And I mean, I think the feeling I wanted, especially at that end when the Kylie's almost sort of gospel like choir thing comes in right at the end, I did want it to end on a feeling of hope. I think the word hope is that you raised is, you know, it's key to this. And you know, although the some of the stories here touch on some, you know, dark places, I think at the end, you know, and the message is that there definitely is hope, and there's hope for any of us and all of us, you know, no matter what's going on. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion in this area, especially around actually people in the music industry and artists. There's a collective, or this kind of, I guess, a support network called Support Act, which started in Australia, which is doing things for artists. And a journalist I spoke to earlier had told me that just in the last little while, three New Zealand musicians had taken their own lives, which was really sad to hear. So I think, you know, there definitely is, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this, but I think we do need to keep talking about it and just keep raising as much awareness as we can.
Yeah. I really hope that single is successful. And with those artists that you've got, you've got a great chance to get a really international audience for the song, because you've got an American, a German artist, and an Australian, of course, and your own band, which is very well known now. So I hope that goes really, really well. What about can you tell me, Lance, the album as a whole, looking at, would you say, for people who are not so familiar with the Bamboos and have heard the band described as a sort of funk soul band, and you're still, that brass and is still there, is this, how does this feel to you in terms of a progression from previous albums?
Well, you know, the thing is as much as we've been touching on the deep, you know, and important aspects around that song Broken, I mean, the major sort of theme of the Bamboos has been that we're kind of, I guess, for want of a better term, a party band, and we definitely, and especially in our live show, we aim to come and, you know, make people dance. That's always been our intention. And I think there is, you know, infinite beauty in that intention. It's something that's important to me, is to make people have a good time through music. And I feel like, you know, as much as we are a funk and soul band and are put in that genre box, we've always struggled against it a bit and tried to sort of, I don't know. Well, we're not sort of like a time capsule band or a purist band or trying to recreate some specific thing, you know, from a bygone age. I think, you know, I think popular music is such a young art form that really any of us are free to kind of pick bits out of it and recontextualize it into something that is definitely of the now. And I feel like, you know, I feel like that's been how I've treated the Bamboos in many ways as a band. Early on, we were definitely probably more influenced in a literal way by bands like the Meters and the JBs and those great American funk acts. But, you know, I think over, you know, then we went off on some tangents. There's, I mean, we've done songs that have almost like a psychedelic rock influence. There's been things that have been much more sort of, you know, classic Motown pop influenced. And,
yeah,
you know, the Fever in the Road album we did had a more of a sort of almost indie sort of influence coming through. So I think we've always sort of pushed against being in any one box. But the thing I like about this latest album we've done is it sort of comes full circle a bit, for want of a better cliche. And I think it has got a lot of those funk and soul aspects that you know, our fans of our earlier stuff will really enjoy. But I think it's been hopefully encapsulated in some songwriting that's got a little more depth to it. And the production aesthetic, I think, you know, with a lot of blood, sweat and tears, I think it does definitely sound like something that is of the now, which was really important, again, to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, absolutely. And in fact, having that song Broken really encapsulates that, doesn't it? Because you've got that sound that some people will associate with the soul, but a treatment of it that brings it right up to right now. So that's a very interesting way to bring it all together. Hey, just you mentioned the full circle idea, and I just wondered, I know in the past you've worked with a number of different vocalists, but on this album, apart from the last track, Broken, primarily it's Kylie, isn't it? Kylie Aldist. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, Kylie's been in the band and actually been our lead singer since 2006. But I think, you know, it's my fault. I've kind of confused people a bit by involving guest vocalists on a bunch of songs, and some songs that ended up being singles and things like that. So Kylie has been incredibly patient with me over these years, and, you know, comes out and sings these songs live that other people recorded, and you know, a lot of the time smashes them out of the park with her own version of them. And you know, but with this album, I was like, hang on, let's actually just shine a light on the incredible voice we have right here in the band. You know, I've been championing Kylie's sound for many years. I produced her solo records, and I've known her for, you know, 2.5 decades now. We were in other bands together before the Bamboos, so we have a long history of making music. And I really just wanted to put the shine the light on everything I love about what she does, and you know, and also the other, you know, seemingly naive thing to say, but actually it's going to be really cool. We've made a record. We can actually go out and play the record for people, and it will sound like the record because it has the singer that was on the record. And after 8 albums in, we're only just getting to that point and realizing the innate and greatness of that concept.
Well, because, you know,
when you do a record with 6 different guest vocalists on it, and you come to do a concert or a show, you know, trying to pull that together is impossible. So yeah, we're pulling it back to the you know, to just the core band. And you know, obviously we've got the rappers on that one track, but I think, you know, this album is definitely, the sound of it is Kylie's voice for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask this question later, but I think I need to ask it right now, seeing as we've talked about the show and performing the album. I was having a quick look, Lance, to see if you guys were coming over this side of the Tasman anytime soon. I didn't see anything on the internet, but can you bring me up to date? Any plans to come over to New Zealand at all?
And it's so embarrassing because, I am a Kiwi, but it's so embarrassing that we've only gone across the Tasman twice in all this time. The first time, and the first time really we were like being more like a backing band for the Quantic Soul Orchestra, but we did play a few of our songs, which was a lot of fun. And then we came across and we played the Splore Festival, which was mind-blowingly good. But it's really important for me to bring the band over this time. So we're doing a national tour here in Australia through August, and then we're going over to the UK and Europe in October. But I'm hoping between those two we can get over to New Zealand, because it's just really important for me as a Kiwi to kind of come back. And you know, even though I've been here for 28 years, I still do call New Zealand home. It's just a Kiwi thing, and you know, I just want to kind of, you know, I've got family as well that I'd love to come down and see the band and just everyone. So yeah, I'm really going to try and make that happen.
Well, I think there'll be a lot of people who'd be very, very keen to hear you guys play live. I'm sure there's a big audience for this sort of music on this side of the Tasman. Hey, having raised this Kiwi-ness of yours, Lance, can I just ask you a little bit about yourself and your early sort of introduction to music? Where were you? Where did you grow up in New Zealand?
I grew up in Auckland, although I did spend a bit of time in Tauranga as a youngster as well. But yeah, I'd been sort of my family had visited Australia a bit, and there are some family members over in Australia as well. But I basically moved over to Melbourne when I was about 16 or 17, and I wasn't a musician at that point. I kind of picked it up over here. And ended up going to study jazz at the College of the Arts in Melbourne and did all that stuff. And then I really worked as a freelance musician for about just under 10 years before I put the Bamboos together. But yeah, I'm mainly working in the sort of jazz scene and the funk and soul scene in Melbourne. I mean, there's an amazing music scene in the city, which was something that, you know, really captivated me and was an impetus early on to make the move. But yeah, I did have a band when I was in New Zealand that was a hip hop group that we played at a school talent quest, which was an amazing amazing eye opening time. So I was into music when I was growing up in New Zealand, but I wasn't necessarily playing guitar. I didn't pick that up properly till I came over here. I did that kind of classic thing that some Kiwis do as they come over to Australia to kind of make it in the music scene and follow that dream. But, you know, I've always, yeah, look, I've still got a lot of family back home and I've actually got a daughter. My eldest daughter lives in Auckland as well. So I'm coming back quite often to visit, but I, you know, I need to come back with the band more. We're a 9-piece, so logistically it can be a challenge, but it's very important for me to get over there with everyone.
Okay. I must ask, given the influences that we hear in the band, I mean, did your parents have a lot of, I don't know, Smokey Robinson or Earth, Wind & Fire that they were playing at home when you were a little kid?
Well, yeah, I was around, my sister was always playing people like Stevie Wonder and Aretha Franklin and things like that. So I was exposed to some soul music when I was actually quite little, and even some jazz. My sister was into people like George Benson, which must have been an influence as I later picked up jazz guitar. But, you know, my family history goes even further back. My grandfather was a musician named Bill Wolfgram, who came from Tonga, and he actually recorded New Zealand's first ever LP record on the format of the long player, which was the latest technology in 1957, I think, in Auckland. It was an album called South Sea Rhythm. So he was he recorded for like Tanzer and Viking and all those Kiwi labels in the 50s and 60s. And I kind of collect his records now and do that. But he was a musician kind of in the, basically sort of a contemporary and colleague of Bill Savisi. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but playing in the kind of Hawaiian steel guitar style that was really popular and at dances in the 50s and 60s. So yeah, there's a whole, and my parents were musicians as well. So yeah, I come from a line of musicians, no doubt.
And do you think your kids are going to go the same way?
Well, you know, I was telling I have two young children, and I was saying, you know, music lesson time was sort of coming up, and I was like, you know, if you're a singer, you don't have to carry any gear, you don't even really have to have a microphone, you can just roll up and you write all the songs and do all that. But what we got, I was thinking maybe piano and vocals could be fairly serene around the house, but instead we got drums and violin. So the cacophony going on in the house.
What a combination!
Is amazing.
Oh, no. Okay.
But my young son Leroy, he's only seven, but he's really taken to drums in quite a, you know, I'm not getting on that whole my child is gifted thing. I would never say that, but he seems to have taken to drums in a quite a extraordinary manner in terms of his, you know, he really sits down for hours and plays it. So I always tease him about the fact that he's going to be joining the Bamboos on drums when he's when he turns 10 or something like that. So
okay.
That keeps him on his toes.
Excellent. There's one other thing I was just interested to get your thoughts on, because I see that, obviously, apart from being a songwriter and performer, you're very much in the producing side of things, and you've written for other artists and had a lot of collaborations, and you're a radio DJ as well. So I guess you've got a pretty good insight into the industry as a whole. And I'm really curious in this digital age, Lance, where obviously it's very easy to make music. It's very easy to find music if you're a consumer of it and listen to it. But there must be so many artists out there. Is it harder now to get your voice heard, perhaps, than it was a generation or two ago? Because there's just so many choices out there.
Yeah, this is a really great question. I mean, when we came up, sort of in the, you know, I guess the route, well, the turn of the millennium, we really rode that wave of what the internet was doing for artists at the time, like, you know, MySpace and all that. But just even being able to collaborate with people internationally, because suddenly you could do a recording session and just email the files. That seems just like every day for people now, but that was revolutionary at the time. That just opened everything up. So I feel like we sort of rode this wave where everything opened up, and it was incredible. But then now we've reached this almost saturation point, like you say, where everything is, there is so much information, and by information I mean musical information as well, available. You basically can sit at your computer and access every single sound that has ever been created, and every current sound that is being created by every single artist that ever existed. And that can be obviously really overwhelming. I mean, back before that internet wave broke, yes, it was harder to get stuff out, but the culture seemed somehow smaller, but in a way that you could, how can I explain this? It's like you could still make a name for yourself, even though there was the tyranny of geographical distance going on. It was still sort of, you know, if you could shout loud enough, your band could, you know, get heard. And if you did go over, make an overseas trip or go to London or something and get just a bit of action, that sort of meant a whole lot. But I think things have really changed now. And that's also changed in the monetization of music, of course. I mean, streaming is now starting to turn around and become a legit source of income slowly. It's much better than it has been. What I would say to any young performer coming up now is just make sure that you're writing your own music, and you're getting the publishing side of stuff really tight, because that is where people, you know, still continue to make money out of music is through songwriting and through the publishing side. I mean, people selling records, that's almost sort of gone out the door, unless you're Adele or something, or Beyonce or something. But, you know, you can still make a living out of playing live. And the live thing is also the other massive one, but also writing.
Yeah.
So that's what I always sort of talk to younger people about. Hey, I think we're going to run out of time pretty quick, because that
I think we are. But
60-second
hey,
call.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed talking to you. I've enjoyed listening to the new album, Nighttime People. Hey, Lance, I hope the album goes well, and I really, really hope that we get to see you over in New Zealand at some point in the next year or so. Thanks for talking to us.
Oh, I'm going to make it happen, Simon. Hey, thanks for your support, and thanks for taking the time out, and have a great day.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.